Matthew 22, verse number 39. You want to read one verse together? Matthew 22, verse number 39. Ready? And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us. Lord, please bless, meet with us. Teach us the word of God this morning. And Lord, help us to remember what our mission, what our goal, what our purpose is, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you were here last Sunday, we talked about the first and great commandment with church in verse number 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse number 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I mentioned last Sunday, when a person does not love God, then that person will not know how to properly love their neighbor or how to live the rest of their life according to the word of God. Love thy neighbor. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. God said, you cannot hate your brother and love God. But yet, so-called God's people hate people of God, can't stand people of God, even family members, and then proclaim and profess to others how much they love God in their emails, their texts, their Facebook accounts, Twitter accounts, or just conversing with other people. All the while, they have disdain for others. That is sad and very hypocritical. I mentioned that last week. Our so-called love for God is so superficial and so shallow, yet most of us believe the lies that we have spun. How often have I stated that I believe we live in the most immature generation that has ever lived in this land? And I'm not just talking about lost people who have not been born again. I'm talking about God's people, those who claim and profess salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone, saved by grace through faith and not of works. The Bible is very clear about salvation. But it's very disconcerting to me to see grown people act like 2- and 3-year-olds who throw tantrums and whine because they don't get their way. I see adults bicker and fight like little toddlers who fight over a toy or a chair or anything and everything because they didn't get their way. Every person alive was born lost. They have an unregenerated sinful condition that is degenerative and getting worse. The only cure for this sinful disease is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away all their sins. But lost people who have not come to Jesus Christ for salvation remain in this degenerative condition. Lost people deal with their lost condition differently. Some give in to their flesh and fleshly desires and have no concerns about morality, decency, and that which is pure and holy. They just let themselves go. They have no shame or regard concerning the King James Bible, no reverence or regard to their parents or grandparents or their religious upbringing. They smoke their weed, take their drugs, and drink their booze. They gamble, they cheat, they lie, they steal, they commit adultery, they fornicate like a bunch of barnyard animals, and just go along their merry way as if there is no harm they're committing or doing. Some people have learned how to deal with their flesh problems, either through their religion, their familial upbringing, or a set of moral laws that they have chosen to conform to. They may not be saved, but a strict code of conduct can help keep a person within the boundaries of morality and decency. I personally think one of the toughest age groups is that of teenagers. If you're a parent of a teenager, you have your work cut out for you, especially if they're not homeschooled and they go to a public school where the environment and teaching is based on the flesh, on emotion, on an anti-God, anti-Bible philosophy. It is an atmosphere that is conducive to forsaking God. They basically teach the children that they are gods and they do not need Jehovah God. They teach reliance on the government and not on Jesus Christ. So it's all about them, their world, their wants, their desires. The complete opposite of that is God is central in everything in life. Without God, we cannot exist. We cannot breathe. We cannot function. We cannot live. It is only by the grace of Almighty God that we have our being and that we even acknowledge God. Instead of focusing on oneself, the Christian perspective is to focus on God first, others second, and yourself last. Real joy is spelled J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Government and God haters teach the complete opposite. You're in charge. This is your life. You do what you want. Take care of number one first. That's the world's philosophy, ladies and gentlemen. And then after you've taken care of yourself and you have enough time, then help somebody else. And lastly, if anyone really believes in God anymore, give your deity, whoever or whatever it is, your leftover time or pocket change. Galatians chapter number 5, please, if you have your Bibles. Galatians chapter number 5. First of all, I want to remind you that God does not need you, that you need God. We have this warped thinking that in our minds somehow that God needs us. Galatians chapter number 5. Verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'll be honest with you, I'll say this a little further on, but the Bible says if you don't take care of your own, you're worse than an infidel. So I'm not talking about taking care of your neighbor and deserting your husband and your wife or your children or your grandchildren. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying you ought to treat your neighbor as yourself, how you would want to be treated. Take your Bible, please turn with me to Luke chapter number 10, the Gospel of Luke. God interrupts your life for you to be saved. God likes turning your world upside down and changing your plans. God interrupts your life so that you can tell other people how to be saved. And if you're supposed to help your neighbor, then what about your own family? And as I said, if you don't help your family, your own, God says you're worse than an infidel. In Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25, and behold, a certain lawyer, again, figures to be a lawyer, stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And this guy quoted the first two commandments that we went over last Sunday and today. Here's what he said in verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind and with thy neighbor as thyself. That's exactly what we talked about last Sunday and this morning. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. That's interesting because Jesus knew what his heart was. And Jesus knew what he was thinking. He answered right, Independent Fundamental Baptist, but he was not doing that which was right. Verse number 29, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, and God throws in chance in life on purpose, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, and you know Samaritans were enemies of the Jews, as he journeyed, he was going somewhere, had a point of destination, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. It's interesting because the priest didn't stop. I want somebody to go follow the boy back there. Follow him. It's interesting because the Levite didn't stop. But the enemy of the Jews, a Samaritan, who was on his way, had a with some kind of destination on his journey, stopped and went to where he was. The Bible says in verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now this one fellow who was half dead had interrupted the Samaritan's life. He interrupted his schedule. He interrupted where he was going. But this man had enough compassion that when he saw him, said to himself, I just can't let this guy go. Because what if it was me? And let me just say this. I know you're not going to read this in this chapter here. But, you know, I think Jesus, knowing everybody's thoughts, just like the, you know, when he brought the woman that was caught in adultery to Jesus, you know, they brought him the woman. You know what Jesus did? He wrote down in the sand, in the dirt, in the ground. The Bible doesn't say what he wrote. But I've got to think that the one who knows all the thoughts and the one who knows all the hearts and the one who knows all the lives may have just put down each of their names and their sin and even the location. And I just wonder if this lawyer was so busy he had to go to a courtroom one day. I wonder if this lawyer was just so busy he had to show up at the courthouse at the gate to make his money to defend somebody that he didn't care about, but he just wanted to get paid. And on his way, he passed somebody that needed his help. I don't think that's beyond the realm of believability, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe Jesus Christ used this story to this lawyer for a purpose. This Samaritan, the Bible says, went to him in verse 34, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He immediately stopped whatever he was thinking about in his life. He interrupted his schedule, and he took care of this guy because this is what he's around for, this is why he's alive, and this is what his purpose is in life, to help his neighbor, ladies and gentlemen. I'm afraid too often, too many times, because we're busy, we pass up people that are hurting. We pass up people that need help. And we say, I'm sorry, I don't have time right now. I'm off to whatever your destination is, whatever your journey is, whatever your appointment is, because we just don't have time for people. You know what I think is a good idea? I don't know about you. I leave 15, 20 minutes early for work, just in case. I don't like just getting to work 1 minute to 9 or 9 o'clock. I'm usually there 8:45, 20 minutes to 9. I don't know about you. But, you know, everybody's so late and everybody's just so busy. God forbid we were to see somebody who would need our help. I'm doing something religious right now and got to go off. It's easy for those of us who come to church, who go out soul winning on Tuesdays or Thursdays or Saturdays or Mondays or whenever you go out, and you just clock in because this is when you're supposed to go soul winning, or it is when you're supposed to go on visitation, but you pass somebody up on Sunday afternoon. You pass somebody up on Monday afternoon. You pass somebody up on Tuesday night. You pass somebody up on Wednesday morning. And we sort of relegate it only to our religious time of service. And saying, oh, boy, I feel bad for so-and-so. Now, listen, if you're a single lady, I wouldn't stop. Don't stop. But I'm just saying, especially for you gentlemen and others, I'm just saying, if you have the opportunity to help somebody, then you ought to help somebody. Keep reading. Verse number 35. And on the morrow, he had enough supplies on him, oil and bandages to wrap him up. He was waiting to be used of God. He was prepared to be used. He had enough money to pay the innkeeper. Verse number 35. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. I've heard somebody preach, I don't know who it was, they say, you know, that 2 pence could represent 2,000 years. And this could represent Jesus Christ saying, you know what? I saved somebody, I put him in the church, take care of him until I get back. Are you taking care of anybody? Are you being an encouragement to anybody? Are you being a help to anybody? Are you binding up anybody's wounds that are hurting, that need soothing? Hearts are broken? Huh? The purpose that you're, the only reason God left you here is to help somebody else, ladies and gentlemen. While you're worshiping God, you're supposed to help somebody else. Not pass them up, or not live in a gated community where everything is spick and span, clean and everything is pure and everything is spotless, and you don't see the heartache and the burden that goes on in Center City Troy or Center City Schenectady or Center City Albany or in projects. It's easy for those of us whom God has blessed to live out in the outskirts somewhere and forget that people are hurting every single day and that people need the Lord every single day. God interrupts our lives to help others, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 36 now. Jesus turns the story back to the lawyer. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Well, that applies to us, ladies and gentlemen. It's like that, remember that young rich ruler? He says, you know, I've obeyed all the commandments up to this time. He said, what do I have to do? You know what Jesus told him? Go sell everything you have, give to the poor. And the Bible says the man went away sorrowful because he had riches. See, Jesus knows how to answer every person individually to what they need to hear. Amen. And Jesus tailors the answers and the stories to each individual questioner. He knows his lawyer. It's up beyond believability that this guy has passed up many people that were hurting, but just didn't have the time to help. I'm a very busy person. I'm a very well-to-do person. I meet with judges, and I meet with kings, and I meet with the ruling class. I don't have time for this kind of stuff. But the Samaritan did. How about your life? My Bible says one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Mark chapter 12. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And on these two hang all the law of God, ladies and gentlemen, and the prophets. 1 Corinthians 13, please. My Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Some people don't want to know if some people are hurting. Some people don't care to know because they're just too busy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, by the way, charity is not love. Charity is love in action. I know your new perversions changed the word charity to love, but no, you can love somebody in your heart, but you can't have charity without action. Amen. Charity demands love in action. Amen. To prove your love. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That's pretty strong language for Jesus, eh? Man, you can sing pretty good. You have a good audible voice. You have the gift of prophecy. You understand all mysteries. You know all knowledge. You have all faith. But without charity, we're nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. I mean, there's people who give to what they call nonprofit organizations that they say help feed the homeless and shelter people. But they would pass somebody up on a heartbeat, not stop to help somebody personally. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The reason why God wants you personally involved is so that you personally can give the gospel to somebody. When you just sit home and write a check to an organization, and usually they're ungodly, worldly organizations that don't believe in the gospel, you send some money, and a lot of people, it soothes their conscience because they say, well, I'm helping poor people. First of all, they're not helping poor people, because this is how you help a poor person or somebody who's hurting. You help them physically and then give them the gospel at the same time, amen? Because that person needs to know that someone who believes in Jesus Christ just stopped, and I am the messenger of Jesus Christ. I am the ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am sent from the King of Heaven to tell you that Jesus loves you. Amen. Verse number 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Verse number 13. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Do we have charity to scratch out our schedules because somebody else needs our help? Are we willing to have all our schedules interrupted because one individual needs my help? Luke 10:27, he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You would want somebody else to help you when you are hurting. You would want somebody else to comfort you when you needed comforting. You want somebody else to have pity on you when you're going through a tough time. You want somebody to encourage you when you needed encouragement. My Bible says, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Huh. Jesus' purpose was going to the cross for salvation for us. We ought to bear our cross outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Not just to help others, but even for their salvation, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Take your Bible, please, turn to Romans chapter number 12. Actually, let's go to Romans 13 first. Romans 13. Verse number 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Watch this. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. It'll be the love that you have for others that makes you fulfill the first and second commandments. The greatest of these, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy heart. The second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And all on these two hang all the law of God. And here we have it, verse number 8. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse number 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You fulfill the law when you love your neighbor. Look at chapter 12, verse number 1. It's not that difficult to love people. You just got to get rid of your pride and get rid of your ego and let your schedule be interrupted. Yeah. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Oh, do I really have to help so-and-so? Why can't somebody else do it? I'm too busy right now. God says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the service you're supposed to do on planet Earth. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? For you and I to go and do thou likewise, ladies and gentlemen. Verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, that's a church, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Watch now. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. That the Samaritan did. If he thirst, give him drink. That's what the Samaritan did. He took him to the inn and took care of him. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Jesus said in John 14, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In 1 John 4:20, the Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? 1 John 3:18, the Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's charity. Anybody can say, I love so-and-so. Anybody can say, I love God. Anybody can say, I love people. But my Bible says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Again, we just read in Romans 13, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you love people? 1 Peter chapter number 4, please. 1 Peter chapter number 4. First Peter chapter number 4, verses 8 and 9. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. A family had the Smiths over to the house for dinner. And to show off, the mom asked little Johnny to pray for the dinner in front of the Smiths. And when the mom asked Johnny to pray for dinner, Johnny said, I don't know what to say. And the mommy, you know, proudly said, well, Johnny, just say what I say all the time. And so Johnny bowed his head and says, okay. Dear God, why do the Smiths always have to come over our house all the time? Yeah. My Bible says use hospitality one to another without grudging. Sometimes we are nice or kind to people only because, listen to me good, we have to. Not because we want to. We don't open our lives for people. We keep them at a distance. And when people are hurting, they need a person. They don't need a computer. They don't need a social service agency. They don't need a number or an operator in India or Pakistan to answer a phone. They need an individual who is really concerned about their soul and will tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at in your life, but God may interrupt your life and change your plans today, tomorrow, this week, next month, so that you can help somebody who needs you personally. Who needs you individually. And it'd be pretty sad if one of God's people said, you know what, I'm just too busy, I can't do this right now. But God has chosen you to get the gospel to somebody. God has chosen you to get the love of Jesus Christ to somebody. It'd be sad for Jesus Christ to say to us, go and do thou likewise. And we just turn away. People are hurting today, ladies and gentlemen. Are you given to hospitality? Do you have fervent charity that covers a multitude of sins for others? You know, life is difficult enough. Life is hard enough sometimes. You got a lot of pressures. You got a lot of bad news, whether it's international news, national news, personal news, health-related news, financial news. Deaths of loved ones and friends. You go to funerals and wakes. Life is difficult enough. What life needs is people who love Jesus Christ walking around seeing who they can help. What life needs, what this world needs, is people who love Jesus Christ to walk around life and see who they can help. Who they can bind up their wounds, who they can take to an inn, an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church, and drop 2 pence in the offering basket and say to the innkeepers there, hey, take care of them until Jesus comes. Take care of this person until Jesus comes. That's what church is for. It's like an inn. Where we can meet people along life's way and bring them to the innkeepers, amen, and let Jesus take care of them, amen. Life is nothing more than that, ladies and gentlemen. Loving Jesus Christ, loving the Word of God, and finding people who are in need and need our help. Let's all stand. Let's all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I think each person in this room could look back at times when they were in need. Hearts were broken, lives were devastated, and they felt like they were just kicked in the gut. And thankfully, dear God, you sent someone along our way to encourage us, to show us the Word of God, to teach us, to explain salvation, or to just stand in our corner and lift us up and pick us up and dust us off. Lord, what this world needs are people who love people, true friends who tell others about Jesus Christ. The only hope in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for people is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dear God, I pray as we go out looking to help people, in searching to help people, may we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them, how much he loves them, how he died on the cross to save them from their sin, to save them from hell. Oh, dear God, may we do our part. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you can.